May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 153, the second part, and we'll sing as far as verse 6 and hope to sing the remaining verses for our middle hymn. Hymn 153, the second part. And why, dear Saviour, tell me why, thou thus wouldst suffer, bleed and die? What mighty motive could thee move? The motive's plain, 'twas all for love. Hymn 153, the second part, concluding at verse 6.
Thank you. Let us read together in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12. The 12th chapter in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our soul's profit, and teach us now to pray. Most holy and eternal, ever gracious Lord God, do keep us ever mindful of who it is a company of poor sinners desire to approach thee. For Lord, we cannot in and of ourselves, for we have been reminded in thy word that we have read together, for our God is a consuming fire. Oh, then do grant to us that precious grace of living faith in exercise in our hearts, that as we come before thee, we may look to the Lord Jesus Christ alone by faith, and to see in him that perfect work of atonement, wherein all the Lord's people are reconciled to a holy, holy God. O Lord, we pray then, we may not be left to rush into thy presence as the unthinking horse into battle. For thou hast said, God is in heaven, thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. We pray now that the dear Holy Spirit might come and indite true, real prayer in each one of our hearts this night. For Lord, thou knowest where we are, the condition of our souls. Lord, how we've come into thy house, the burdens, the troubles that thy people know. O Lord, we pray that we might know the fulfillment of that word again that we have just read. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt deliver us from a form of religion. Lord, we want divine realities. We want a Holy Spirit-wrought religion in our hearts. For Lord, we would not be left to be satisfied with an intellectual knowledge of the truth. Solemnly believe there are many who rest there. Oh, may not any here before thee be so deceived to believe that the ascent and assent to the truth is all that is required. Lord, oh, do come this night and make thy mighty power known in poor sinners' hearts. Lord, may those souls, if there are those dead in trespasses and in sins, oh, know the quickening power of thy Holy Spirit, and brought into a solemn exercise and concern as to where their souls will spend a never-ending eternity. Oh, Lord, what solemn realities these things are to thy dear people. And oh, what an exercise it is oftentimes, lest we should sink under that wretched sin of unbelief. Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt come and deliver us from all that is of the creature, all that is of a form, all that is of self. And oh, do draw our hearts' desires and affections heavenward, that we may be enabled to behold a precious Christ and to know him revealed in our heart, our hope of glory. Lord, we would not be left to suppositions. Lord, we would not dare assume those things that thou hast not spoken, that thou hast not declared. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come this night. Oh, might it please thee to cause the word to be a living word to living souls, and that there might be that brought forth, that precious fruit to thine honour and glory. And yet, Lord, thou knowest our spiritual poverty, our ignorance and foolishness. Lord, thou knowest how little we truly know. But oh, we would fall at thy feet, pleading with thee for mercy. Oh, Lord, may that plea be a heartfelt cry from many souls here truly seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. For Lord, it is alone through thy mercy displayed in the heart of a poor, needy sinner can we ever be delivered from that burden of sin, that burden of unbelief, that wretched state we're in by nature, the carnal heart. Lord, thou must do everything for us, for we are so utterly helpless, we are so weak, so impoverished. But oh Lord, those riches are laid up in the Lord Jesus Christ, of which thy people are found partakers. And might there be this night in this little company souls reaching forth unto Christ, that they might be a partaker of those unsearchable riches in Christ. For Lord, nothing else will satisfy a longing soul or fill the hungry soul with goodness but a revelation of Christ to our souls. O Lord, appear, we pray, in much mercy. Thou knowest those souls before thee, hungering and thirsting after thee, feeling, Lord, so cast down, so troubled on account of the way, on account of those things that affect them. Lord, thou knowest those burdens. Oh, we pray that thou wilt cause them truly to lay aside those burdens and cast them alone upon thee. But, oh Lord, may our heart's desires and affections be drawn, sweetly drawn, by the dear Holy Spirit after the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, might it be, may he be, our all and in all, the chiefest among 10,000, and the altogether lovely one. Lord, thou knowest how our souls need reviving. Oh, Lord, oh, we want that refreshing from the sweetness and blessedness of the gospel entering into our poor hearts. Oh, might it be so. Lord, open hearts to receive the word. But, oh, Lord, might there be that song of praise found upon the lips of many, truly brought to praise thee for what thou art and what thou hast done. Lord, we come now and seek and to be given a spirit of real confession. Lord, thou must do it. Oh, leave us not to empty words, familiar phrases. Leave us not to mock thee. For Lord, thou alone knowest our need. And Lord, thou knowest the extent that we feel our need, and that earnestness, that urgency to our case. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt enable us to fall at thy feet in real, true contrition, godly sorrow for our sins, made conscious that we deserve nothing at thy hand but eternal separation and banishment from thee forever. But Lord, to cast ourselves upon thy mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Oh, then do come and visit souls this night, and ere we leave thy house, oh, may we have gathered a crumb a portion for our never-dying souls, that we may be enabled to continue in that path appointed for us. Lord, we pray for each one here that has gathered, those not here this night. Thou knowest where they are. Thou knowest those that would be here if they could, and those that could be here if they would. Lord, nothing but thy grace can gather thy people in thy house. And Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt work mightily in this house of prayer, in the souls of those that gather. And oh, might there be those brought forth in thy time to testify of thy love and mercy to them. Lord, thou knowest those hearts that long to, and yet feel so insufficient, so poor, so sinful. Oh, may they see in a precious Saviour a perfect atonement for their sins as it is revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. We pray especially for the dear young people, those not here this night. Lord, remember them in much mercy. They stand on the threshold of life, and Lord, they live in an evil day. Oh, do preserve them and keep them from their early days. Lord, might it please thee to quicken them into divine life. Lord, that the word might be a word in season for them. And Lord, that there may be that cry put forth in their hearts for mercy, as alone thou dost bring them to realize how they've sinned from the very moment of their birth. Lord, thou knowest those seeking souls here this night, those, Lord, who are venturing yet, oh, know so much opposition, both without and within. And Lord, often troubled and cast down as to the reality of their religion. Lord, oh, do may a word fall into their hearts by way of an encouragement, that they may be strengthened to continue. But oh, might it please thee that these dear young people may be brought to know the riches of those blessings which are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we read in thy word, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Oh, may that be a word of encouragement to those seekers amongst the dear young people. And Lord, we pray that, oh, that they might not let thee rest. They may be kept from the enticements of the world. And oh, that thou wilt come and remember them in their youthful days. Lord, we pray for those in middle life. Thou knowest those who have to do with the heat and burden of the day. Remember them in much mercy. Sustain and uphold them. But Lord, we pray that they might feel that thou art an ever-present God, that thy ear is ever open to their cries, and he knows, Lord, the secret sighs, the groans, the tears, which alone are known to them and their Lord. Lord, we pray for those older in life. Remember them in much mercy. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near unto them. And oh, do bless them where they leave this world here below. Thou knowest those who long for it, long for a clear view of the Lord Jesus Christ, a clear view of their interest in him and his great work. Lord, we pray that thou wilt hear those petitions and grant them a sweet and blessed token, yea, even an earnest of that glorious inheritance of the saints in light which awaits all thy people. We pray, O Lord, for those that carry the responsibility here. Remember them in much mercy. Strengthen and uphold them as they carry the burden of this cause of truth. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember them each in those burdens that thou hast laid upon them. But Lord, they each have their own case. Oh, do remember them and them in all their desires concerning their own souls and concerning this church and people. Lord, we pray for Zion. Oh, thou seest the solemnity of the day in which we live. Lord, we've sinned against thee. We've done that which is evil in thy sight, and thou art hiding thy face on account of our many sins. Lord, bring us to thy feet in real repentance. Might it please thee, Lord, to appear in mercy? Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee? For Lord, we have to come with the words of the psalmist. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Lord, appear, we pray, in this dark day amongst the churches. And Lord, might there yet be that spirit of importuning prayer to wrestle with thee, Lord, that those blessings might be known and felt in the day in which we live. Now, Lord, we would thank thee for all thy mercies and favours, how many they are, and Lord, we are undeserving of them. We pray, Lord, for that spirit of real gratitude and grace to truly praise thee as we ought. And now as we turn to thy word, do come. Deliver us, Lord, from all that is of the creature. Deliver us from that enemy to our souls. Deliver us from the carnality of our hearts, as we desire to consider those things that concern eternity. Lord, we pray now that thou wilt have compassion upon us, and oh, that thy word may be known and felt in the power accompanying it in the hearts of sinners. Do pardon now all our many sins and all that we have asked amiss, as we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 153, the second part, commencing at verse 7. The Jews with thorns his temples crowned, and lashed him when his hands were bound. But thorns and knotted whips and bands by us were furnished to their hands. In 153, the second part and the last four verses. Thank you.
that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read, the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 3. The third verse of the 12th chapter in the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. The Apostle Paul never forgot that place where he was once in, persecuting the church of God, enemies to the Lord's people, and of that great change which was wrought on Damascus Road, wherein the Lord Jesus Christ manifested to him God's mercy toward him. And it was as he was brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified for him, he desired above everything else to declare this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, exalting him in every sermon he preached, and every epistle that was written and recorded in God's holy word. We see throughout those epistles how he sets before those to whom he wrote, he directs their thoughts, their hearts, their minds to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done. Yes, he dwelt upon often in some of those epistles a particular aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ, the union of Christ, the second coming of Christ, and so on. And here we have, as it were, in this epistle, he dwells much upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Let us remember who it is that he is writing to. He's writing to the believing Jews. And it is set before, he sets before them that was that wherein all their forefathers trusted in and rested in, many of them in a form of religion. And so he opens this epistle by speaking first of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, then his sacred humanity, and then he sets before these Hebrews how the Lord Jesus Christ was far greater than Moses, and that those sacrifices that were made, they were but types of that one great sacrifice which the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished whilst here below, in all that he passed through, yea, those things that we have been singing about this evening. Oh, beloved friend, what do we know about them? Vital question, because if you and I are amongst the Lord's living family, there will be wrought in our heart a desire to know these precious truths for ourselves. Oh, that vital concern that we might know this same Jesus, this same Jesus revealed to us, and to have a clear testimony wrought in our heart by the Holy Spirit that we are the subjects of the work of grace in our heart, and that it was for us the Lord Jesus Christ came into this sin-cursed earth, and it was for us he fulfilled God's holy law, and it was for us that he went to Gethsemane, and there to have our sins, that is the sins of the Lord's people, laid upon him by his Father. And then, as those sins were laid upon him, God poured out his wrath upon the holy Son of God and punished the dear Lord Jesus, that his people might never know it eternally. It is that vicarious sacrifice, as the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the room and place of his dear people, suffered the punishment due to them, shed his blood, that therein a perfect sacrifice was accomplished. And God viewed it as a perfect sacrifice. Yea, he ordained it, for no other sacrifice could ever have satisfied God's justice. But that wrought out in Gethsemane and at Calvary for each one of his dear people. And if we are a child of God, we shall in this world be brought to know these precious truths, and to be brought in possession of that precious grace of living faith, which we have in the context to the text tonight, wherein our faith rests alone in Christ and what he has done for our never dying souls. We have in the preceding chapter, oh, how those godly patriarchs, they possessed that precious grace of faith. They rested in the promises, and they rested with a firm assurance that those promises of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ would be fulfilled. Now we live in a gospel day, and the Lord Jesus Christ has now ascended into heaven and is at the Father's right hand, there interceding as the great high priest of his dear people, that one, the sinner's advocate in heaven above, the one that stands between a poor, vile, sinful sinner and a holy, holy God. Now the chapter begins like this: wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. A gracious exhortation to these believing Jews, and a gracious exhortation to you and me, if we have a desire after these things, and the dear Holy Spirit has begun that work of grace in your heart and my heart. Because if we're ever to run that race, there will be a leaving the things here below. There will be a laying aside of those things that occupied our minds once. But also, dear friend, there'll be a laying aside of this sinful self and all that is of the creature. A laying aside, yea, of all that is of the flesh, with that desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him. You say, oh, that I could. That's the burden of my soul. Oh, I would see him by faith. Do you seek it, my dear friend? Do you feel your need of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you not be satisfied with anything short of it? Because that's the very place you and I will be brought by the work of the Holy Spirit, made conscious of what our sins deserve and what we are and what a wretched case we have in and of ourselves, destitute of all that is good, no hope in self, an inability to find anything to satisfy our poor, troubled, burdened souls here below. But oh, to look to this one glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, oh, that I could have a glimpse of him. Dear friend, do you seek it? Do you feel your need of it? Do you feel there's nothing else that you truly desire but to see this dear Saviour by faith and to behold him as that one that stood in your room and place and stead? Dear friend, do you desire it? It won't come from the flesh. It'll alone come through the work of the Holy Spirit in your poor heart. He alone shows you what you need. He shows you what you are. And he alone will lead you to the dear Saviour. But dear friend, you know not the path that you'll have to walk in that you might receive that glimpse. I say, are you willing, my dear friend, to lay aside everything here below? Oh, that you might possess this dear Saviour? You'll be brought there. Not until you have been brought to know that without him, your soul will perish forever in that place where hope can never come, but you come casting yourself upon God's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. If so be that he would be gracious to our souls, my dear friend, that's where you will be brought. I know not the circumstance, the case, but what I can tell you is this, my dear friend. You will be emptied out of all hope in self. You'll come to this. There's nothing here that'll satisfy my poor, longing soul but Christ. Oh, to know him. Well, dear friend, does that have an echo in your heart tonight? Oh, you say, that's what I want. Do you importune him at the throne of grace? Do you tell him your need? Oh, you say, I feel so wretched and poor. My dear friend, that's no obstacle. You are poor. All the Lord's people are poor. They feel it. But you see, it's this. We come just as we are. We come, as dear Top Lady said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And dear friend, you won't have your heart's desire until you're brought to that very place in your experience. None but Jesus can do my poor soul any good. Well, dear friend, all who are brought there truly seeking after this most blessed person will not be disappointed. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit in a poor sinner is this. He leads that soul out of themselves all hope in self, and leads them to the Saviour. He so exercises that precious God-given faith in your heart that there is truly that reaching forth unto Him, looking unto Jesus. For that little faith you have as you desire to look to Him, He's the author and finisher of it. He gives that faith, He exercises that faith, and sets the glorious object of the dear Saviour before that poor sinner's eyes, and faith reaches out after Him to see that in Him all that He accomplished and all that He passed through, that God was satisfied, and that all the sins, your and my many sins, many countless multitudes of them, some so black and vile that we wouldn't like to speak to anyone else about them. Oh, beloved friend, it's every sin, none excepted. If the dear Lord brings us by the Holy Spirit to come in this blessed way and cast our all upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear friend, do you believe it? You cannot be satisfied with an intellectual knowledge of these truths. Yes, we all know them. We've heard them preached from this pulpit. You've heard the Lord's servants speak of them. But beloved friend, how different it is. You see, it assumes a solemn reality in your heart and my heart as we feel our great need of this salvation in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, wonderful word that is, isn't it? For the joy that was set before Him, that's the joy of bringing His dear people safely home to glory at last. That joy wherein His Father would be reconciled to His dear people in His person and all that He was about to pass through. For the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Blessed truth, my dear friend. But where does it bring you and I? I believe it'll bring us to our text. For consider Him. Now it's those two words that has rested especially upon my heart to bring before you this evening. To consider the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. What is it to consider? My dear friend, it's this: to give a prayerful attention to those things that we are considering, and with a desire and those prayers going up to the dear Holy Spirit that He would come and direct us in our petitions, that thereby, oh, that we may be enabled to behold the dear Lord Jesus. Consider Him. Consider Him, my dear friend, in His infinite condescension, that He should lay aside His heavenly throne in the Father's bosom to condescend to come into this sin-cursed earth. Oh, the wonder of it, to take a body like our own, sin accepted. And in that body, to live that perfect life in complete obedience to God's command. His will was ever in total accord with his Father's will, for he desired to perform that will, that he was appointed therein to come into this world. He sent his Son to save his people from their sins. What condescension. But oh, beloved friends, how can we speak of it without going back to the source of it? God's love in eternity past, that therein he set his love upon a certain number to display the wonders of his redeeming grace, of Christ's dying love, wherein his people are reconciled to him and brought safely home to glory at last. Oh, dear friend, my thoughts go to that desire which the Apostle Paul had for that Thessalonian church. He said this, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ." And it's only as the Lord directs our hearts, our thoughts, that we are so enabled to consider the dear Lord Jesus. My dear friend, there'll be those times if the dear Holy Spirit reveals Christ to you in all that he passed through, how he suffered, how he agonized, how he prostrated himself upon the ground as he bore the weight and the punishment due to his people's sins as they were laid upon him. Oh, dear friend, consider him in Gethsemane. It's where the Lord's people, I believe, will be brought in their experience here below. Oh, you say, oh, that I could get there. Dear friend, you cannot in and of yourself. It's only as you're led by the dear Holy Spirit to behold the Saviour by faith, groaning, bleeding, dying for such a sinful wretch. By dear friend, that'll break your heart. Then you'll know true godly sorrow. Then you'll know real repentance. The Holy Spirit wrought repentance in the heart as it's given and bestowed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you'll truly mourn over your sins and after him as you see the cost that he bore, that thereby our poor, wretched, sinful souls might be redeemed from hell. All undeserved. We look back upon those days of unregeneracy. Oh, how many were our sins. Yes, even in the Lord's house, perhaps we gathered in the Lord's house. Yes, because we were constrained to by our parents. But we sat in the Lord's house, and how we passed the time with idle, worldly thoughts. Oh, beloved friends, what an abuse this was of the Lord's privilege, this ordinance that he had appointed for his dear people. And you know, the Lord's people are brought to realize it. You know, these things as sins against God's goodness and mercy. And I may have spoken of it before. I believe it's those sins that pierce that poor sinner's heart to that depth as they realize how they've turned away from God's mercy, that merciful provision that he has made for them. And dear friend, notwithstanding that, His love was so great. Eternal love, from everlasting love. That love, my dear friend, brought the Saviour down into this world, that therein those sins might be atoned for and put away forever. Oh, the magnitude of this sacrifice. Nothing can be compared to it, my dear friend. Nothing here below. It's that great work. That work transcends the work of recreation, you know. Oh, what a great work that is. And we see the evidence of it day by day. But this work transcends it all. The Lord Jesus Christ standing, suffering, bleeding and dying in the sinner's room and place and stead. Dear friend, consider him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him, my dear friend, in as those blessings that the Lord's people know, they all flow from Calvary. Every grace, the hymn writer says, and every blessing comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. The blessings that flow from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, the fruit of his sufferings. It's this, that his dear people, souls might be redeemed. That's the only way. Consider that he did it for such a sinful wretch as you feel and will feel to be, not only once, dear friend, I believe we shall know it continually, right down to our dying day, just as much as the Apostle Paul never forgot, because he constantly spoke of it in those sermons that he preached, in these epistles as well. He looked back with shame upon where he was, dead in trespasses and in sins, fat satisfied with a form of religion, yet he viewed himself as an exceptional Pharisee. He said a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and yet in God's almighty love and his sovereign purposes toward him, he brought him out of that wretched state that he was found in. And such a one was chosen to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friend, he knew it. Those things that he spoke of, he knew it experimentally. He spoke from those things that had been revealed to him. You know, it's those things when the Lord's servants come into his house, in the Lord's house, to preach the glorious gospel. It's those things that they have tasted and handled and felt as they're spoken of. And the dear Lord, if he so favours a soul, they come forth in power into the heart through Christ and what he has done. I say, do you know that power? Have you felt the power of the word in your heart? You'll never forget it. My dear friend, something has been accomplished in your heart. Yes, it may be a word of conviction, but never that won't be removed until you know the precious blood of Christ applied to your sin-stained heart and consciences. And that blood is applied when a poor sinner comes to Calvary, destitute, poor and wretched, and cast themselves upon God's mercy in Jesus Christ, believing that if the Lord, if it was his will, he would look upon them in his great compassion and love and mercy, and hear and answer those poor petitions. Consider those blessings that flow from Calvary. Precious gifts, faith, hope, love, they're all the graces of the Spirit, but they all flow through the Lord Jesus Christ to his dear people. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace which his people are brought to live upon day by day, that precious sap which flows from that glorious root, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. They live by faith upon him, and he supplies their every need in that grace which he bestows upon his people. And you know, we shall feel to need it continually, day by day. His grace that subdues the sinful workings of our own wretched heart, subdues the evils which are found there, subdues that enemy to our souls with his vile temptations. And oh, what power some of those temptations come. The Lord's people know it. Now it makes us cry to the Lord, Lord, uphold me. Preserve me, Lord. Keep me from myself. I'm so weak. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that therein that soul is kept. That grace to walk in his ways, to obey his commands. That grace to trust him every step of the way. It's his grace. It flows from Calvary, my dear friend. It's there the dear Lord Jesus Christ opened the channel of mercy to his dear people. God appointed it as the way whereby these gospel blessings might be known by his chosen people in eternity past. Consider those spiritual blessings. Now, my dear friend, look back on your experience. Has the Lord spoken to you? Has he answered your poor petitions? Has he heard your cries, your groans, your sighs? Beloved friend, if the Lord has spoken to you through his word, if he softened your heart under a sense of the preciousness of what he is and what he has done for your soul, dear friend, these are tokens of God's love and mercy to you. And the day will come when you'll see the source of it. Calvary, there where the Lord of life and glory laid down his life, that those blessings might be yours. Oh, how great is that work, my dear friend. A poor mortal's mouth is totally inadequate to speak as one feels of these precious truths. You know, if the Lord comes and fills your poor heart with them, oh, then you'll bless him, then you'll praise him, then you'll desire to honour him. Nothing will hold you back then, my dear friend. Then you'll desire to speak to sinners round, what a dear Saviour you have found. I'll point to that thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Consider him.
And you know, it's where the dear Lord's people desire to be found. Oh, how little we know of it. How rarely, if one might speak for others, we're found in this blessed posture, desiring to consider this dear Saviour, the author and finisher of our faith, yea, the ground of our faith, the foundation of our hope, the source of God's love to us and our love to Him. Consider Him. Well, what a vast subject it is. We could speak of those offices the Lord Jesus Christ occupies for His dear people. Consider Him as your Saviour. Consider Him as your Redeemer. Consider Him as your Prophet, the Teacher, the Instructor, the one that leads and teaches His dear people by His own Holy Spirit, made known to His dear people, the prophet of His dear people, the priest, the one that continually intercedes for them at the Father's right hand. We continually sin. But oh, dear friend, we shall be sinners right down to our dying day. And I believe to a truly exercised soul, one with a tender spirit, it'll be a grief to them. Every day, as they look back over the day and see the sinful thoughts, those words uttered unadvisedly, carnally, the things that we have done, not looking unto Jesus, those things that we have done to satisfy the lusts of our poor flesh, how much we have to be ashamed of. But there is one, and the comfort of the Lord's people is this, there's one in heaven above, continually interceding for His dear people, pleading the merits of His sacrifice for it by His Father. And my dear friend, herein is the comfort of His dear people, to know there is one who intercedes for them. Ah, they'll want that precious gift of forgiveness made known to them, not only once, but again and again and again. What was it the hymn writer said? Daily I'd repent of sin, daily wash in Calvary's blood. And that's where you and I will be found, I believe. Every day when we are spiritually exercised, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the King. He's King. He reigns in heaven. He reigns in the hearts of His dear people. Does He reign in yours, my dear friend? Does He reign in mine? It will be so, because we belong to Christ if we're a child of God, by gift and by purchase. He purchased the church of God, we read, with His blood. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. We are not free to do as we please, which is so current in the day in which we live. My dear friend, if we are amongst these chosen, favoured people, oh, the certainty of it is this. We are in Christ, joined in that sacred, blessed union with the church's living head, ever have been, ever will be, but made known in our own lives' experience here below. A King
Is he yours? Is he mine? My dear friend, if we have him as our king, he preserves, watches over, defends. He's the refuge of his dear people in times of trouble and affliction. He's their heavenly physician. Well, the time has gone. Dear friend, may the Lord, in his mercy, enable us each to go home and seek that the Lord would grant to us this precious gift, that enabling by the Holy Spirit to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Dear friend, it's the best place that you and I can ever be found here below, meditating upon the dear Saviour and what he has done. It's God honouring, it's God glorifying, and it's profitable to our souls. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Henry Mercer will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening next week, and the members are requested to stay behind for a few moments after this service. Let us close with hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed, thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. Hymn 119.
Thank you.
Lord, do bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which is right in thy sight, oh, do cause it to abide in our hearts, and may it draw forth desires after the dear Lord Jesus, to have a clearer view of him, and a clearer view of our interest in the Saviour's work. Watch over us now as we part. Grant journeying mercies. Be with us through the remainder of our journeys here below. And prepare us each for eternity. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. Amen.